This morning, we will be discussing the Christian's relationship to the world. The Christian's relationship to the world. For years, I worked at a Christian school, and all they've ever spoke about was having a relationship with Christ. Now, if you want to be a Christian, sometime soon you're going to have to realize you can't have a relationship with the world. It's here. You're in it. But you cannot be a part of it. Sometimes that's going to seem difficult and sometimes it's going to seem impossible. But sooner or later, it's going to dawn on you that some of the things we do in this world, we shouldn't do. It's a growth thing. It's not something you're going to wake up one morning and all of a sudden stop doing. It's something you're going to wake up this morning and have to work at doing. Christians and the world, we have a job in it, but it shouldn't be a part of us. As we go through this class, a lot of things are going to be coming to your mind. And at the end of this class, we're going to give you an opportunity to bring those things out. And as you think of them, and we go through this class, let's see how much of your thoughts we cover in the class. But this is a class that's designed to get you thinking about what you are doing and to make you better Christians. Boy, did it hurt me all week long reading about this. Some of the things that I thought I had done down pat, I didn't. But let's see how far we go with this. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Romans 12:2. The gospel of Christ clearly teaches that the Christian is to be separated from the sinful world. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:1-3. The word conformed means to act in accord with, comply with, to make similar in form. The word transform is from the word from which we get metamorphosis, a change from one form into another. Christians are to have their lives transfigured or transformed into the likeness of Christ. Paul's plea is a very strong one. He said, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God. He has described these mercies in God, the mercies of God, rather, in the preceding chapters of the book of Romans. Number one, he discusses God's mercies for forgiving Jews and Gentiles by the same gospel in chapters 1-5. Then he says God's mercies are extended further in the sanctifying of Christians, chapters 6-8. God has shown his mercies, rather, toward disobedient Israel, chapters 9-11. On the basis of these mercies of God, Paul beseeches Christians to present their bodies a living sacrifice to God right here and right now. This is to be done by being transformed, by renewing their minds, or by applying the teachings of Christ to their lives. Now, since we know that Christians are those who compose the body of Christ, the church, and that the word church means called out, we should therefore understand that Christians have been called out of the world and belong to Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's amazing that we have a song that says that exact same thing. John also declared, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. Turn to Romans chapter 7, if you will. Those that have Bibles. Paul goes a little bit further in these chapters, starting at verse 13. And he goes a little bit more in depth into what he was talking about the things that we will see in just a second. He says, has then what is good become death unto me? Certainly not, but sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who would deliver me from this body of death? Paul, just like each and every one of us, struggled with doing right. Anyone that says he doesn't struggle or hasn't struggled is deceiving himself. Flesh is a mess. That's one thing I learned a long time ago. I used to sit and every now and then I'd get this deep thought in my mind of being in heaven. And for some reason, I just couldn't see myself sitting down, praising God, saying hallelujah, glory to God, and all this kind of stuff. And I just wondered if I could truly be a Christian. And then it dawned on me one day that if I get to heaven, the part of me that don't want to praise God won't be there. The only part that will be there is my soul. This flesh does not want to praise God. This flesh does not want to give God the praise for the things that he's done. Flesh is the avenue through which our sins destroys our souls. We need to defeat the flesh in order for the soul to get to heaven. Paul said it when he said, die daily. Telling us that this is a teaching process where you have to do it yourself. It is not going to, you're not going to wake up one morning and all of a sudden you're going to be perfect. No, you're going to have to work at it. The things that keep you from getting closer to God are the things that you're going to have to work at removing from yourself. And it all starts with your flesh. Religion. Well, religious moral law came by revelation and must be learned. The principle of morality is the very foundation of true religion. There is a difference between morality and religion. One can be morally good and religiously wrong. But one cannot be religiously right and at the same time morally wrong. The law of Christ must direct the Christian in this manner of life and living. The church at Ephesus was sound in doctrine, but they had left their first love, Revelation 2:4. The love of God and the love of the sinful world cannot exist in the same heart at the same time. They are opposed to each other in as light is from darkness. Turn to 2 John 2:15. I'm sorry. You know, I got to admit, one of the greatest sounds a speaker could ever hear is the sound of pages turning. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Christians are not to love the world. They are not to be conformed to the world or fashioned like the world. J.B. Phillips' translation says, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. We don't think like some of these things we hear, but when we hear them, they make so much sense if we would think about them after we hear them. We don't think about the world squeezing us into its mold, but that's exactly what it's doing. If you look at politics, everything in the political world is forcing you all into one direction, away from God. Everything in your life is trying to force you away from God. But if you are one of those that want to be close to God, there's only one way for you to do it. And that's to work at it. If you sit around waiting on somebody to push you, pull you, or prod you closer to God, it's not going to happen. There is a 10-word sentence that I heard. Actually, I read it one day on a billboard. And it's the most powerful 10 words you will ever read together. It says, if it is to be, it is up to me. You get in heaven, I ain't taking you there. I can help. If you're going to go to heaven, it's up to you and you alone. Because if you don't make up your mind to go there, you won't go there. Our relationship to the world, or having a relationship to the world, is going to become a stumbling block to those that aren't really trying. I'm in this world. The only thing I found in this world that I like is in this building. Beyond this building, you can have it. I live every day with the hopes of dying in a righteous manner. And when I say righteous manner, I don't mean in this building. I mean without sin. I want to be sinless when the day comes that I die. And I don't care when that day comes. I'm living every day to go to heaven. If you are living every day to go to heaven, you also won't care when the day comes that you die. When you start worrying about the day you die, then the world has got a part of you that it shouldn't have. Give up on this world. Jesus told Pilate, this world, my kingdom rather, is not of this world. Which kingdom do you want to be a part of? This world or the one that Christ brought here? I want to be a Christian with all my heart. I want to be a Christian clean through and through. I want to live righteously so that as I walk down the street, people will look at me and wonder what it is about me. Have you been someplace, said something to someone, and they come up to you and just ask you if you're a Christian, if you've done that, you've done well. You don't have to pat yourself on the back. That's what the world wants. The world wants praise. Do something and don't worry about who gets the praise. And if somebody gives praise to you for something you've done, give it to God. He's the one that deserves it. You're just an accident waiting to happen. That sounds cold, I know, but in reality, we are. Our relationship to the world should make us not want to do the things that the world does. I want to be better than I am. And I know it's going to take me to do that. You can help. We all can help each other. We help each other through prayer. If you don't pray for your brethren at night or during the daytime when you pray, then you're missing out on a lot. The Bible says it is better to give than to receive. Don't you realize when you pray and do things for others, God is going to do things for you? Our relationship to this world should keep us forever mindful of that cross on Golgotha. If we can keep our minds on that cross and do one other thing, read this book. This book contains every bit of information to get you to heaven. My son was in prison, and he wrote me a letter. He had finally started looking at the Bible, and he gave me an acronym for the Bible. I'm sure you've all heard it. It's basic information before leaving the earth. You're going to put a toy together. You're going to follow the instructions sooner or later. You're going to get to heaven. You got to follow the instructions. Much sooner, I hope, than later. This book is the only book on the face of the earth that will help you get to where you want to go if you want to go to heaven. I know calling yourself a Christian sounds good, but do you realize sometimes you sin when you call yourself a Christian and you're not? It's a lie. Your relationship to this world should set you apart from this world by not having a relationship with this world. Let's get beyond this world and get into our Bibles. Read your Bible. I read my Bible, and one of the things I recognize God hates more than anything is idolatry. He hates it. But when Christians do the same thing that the people of the world do, we find ourselves idolizing things and not paying too much attention to what this book is telling us. We have so much stuff in this world, in the United States, that it's difficult for us to back away from it. But if you can ever pull yourself away from what the world has and go ahead and just get into your Bible and just read a little bit of it, you'll find that your life is going to be a lot broader. You're going to have a lot more to say to people. And it's going to be easier to talk to people about the Bible, simply because the more you read the Bible, the more the Bible gets into you. The more that is in you, the easier it is for you to bring it out. I learned one thing the hard way. I learned that the best way to understand the Bible requires you to do two things. Number one, you must read the Bible. And number two, you must believe what you read, even if you don't understand it. Just believe it. Because if you just believe what God says, And if you just read what God says, it will become a part of you. And believe it or not, God will give the increase. Once you start believing what is written in the Bible, it's the exact same thing as planting a seed. We go out every day looking for someone to talk to about the Bible. And the only thing we want to do is plant a seed. When you read the Bible, make up your mind to believe it just because God said it. And if you can do that, you are planting a seed in yourself. And God will give you the understanding. I marvel at the way David and Dan see things in the Bible, because I have not gotten to that level yet where I can see as they see. But when they break it down, it makes so much sense that I wonder why I didn't see it. And it's because I've had my own way of thinking. And now I'm learning to think the way he thought. Our relationship to the world keeps us from doing what God wants us to do. I don't want you to raise hands, but how many of you spend more than 4 and 5 hours on your computer? How much of that time is studying your Bible? Or how much of it is playing a game? I got a game on my computer called Bejeweled. The hardest thing about Bejeweled is to keep it going, because you can. It will eventually beat you. But I am so proud in my flesh of the four or five games that I've gotten over 300,000 on Bejeweled. And you know how much that's going to help me in heaven? You know how much that's going to help me get to heaven? I have to back away from my computer because of the things that's on my computer that's keeping me from studying my Bible. On my computer, there's a game called PokerStars.com. I have over $500,000 in PokerStars.com. But see, I'm backing away from my computer because there ain't no cards in heaven. My relationship to this world is causing me to lose out on the things that really matter. We all, I'm sure everybody in here has at least one computer, if not two, or maybe three. Those computers can be used for good. There's eSword. That's a study system where you can study the Bible, study all different kinds of Bibles. But do we put eSword to use as much as we put games to use? This world has too much to offer for us to take advantage of it and still get to heaven. You won't make it. You got to get away from the things of the world. Your computer is a valuable tool. Use it as a tool and read your Bible. Don't let your computers run your lives. It's just like these cars we have nowadays. People don't know how to turn around and look behind them when they back up, because they have mirrors in front of them. What happens when the mirror gets too fuzzy? Wouldn't it be a shame if we don't look around us behind us, if we fail to look behind us and those muscles get too tight to turn your head? Come on, folks. You don't need all this stuff that the world is offering you. The body can do a whole lot of that stuff by itself. It's our relationship to this world that we really need to pay attention to. And it will get easier as we practice. Turn to James 4, verse 4. And the first one that gets there, please read it. Thank you. See, we aren't supposed to be friends of the world. I have a daughter that's a homosexual. Now, I hate with all my heart what she does. I love my daughter. I can't convince her not to do what she's doing. But there's one thing I have done. I made her know that if she doesn't change, hell would be her home. When she gets there, she can't look back at me and say, Daddy, why didn't you tell me? She knows. You have friends. All your friends need to know the difference between heaven and hell. We have a job. But see, our relationship to this world is keeping us from doing our job as well as we can. Our job is to tell this world what's going on. I don't have to tell them about what Obama is doing. They know. I don't have to tell them what's happening at Walmart. They know. They need to know that Satan is out to get them and that Satan has got most of them. There was a preacher got up in a pulpit one day and he was kind of sad. And he started talking and he said, I had a dream the other night. And in my dream, I saw the devil sitting in the corner crying. And I walked over to him and asked him what he was crying for. And the devil said, I know I'm bad. I will never be good. But these people are blaming me for things that I didn't do. Isn't that a shame? We're blaming Satan for things he didn't do. Satan don't have to get you to commit some heinous sin to send you to heaven. That's not his job. The only thing he has to do is to keep you from doing what this book says. This book says to go, teach, baptize. If you don't do that, who's winning your battle? Go, teach, baptize. Your relationship to this world is just that. You need to go, teach it, and baptize. That's the only relationship you should have to this world. When you walk out this building this morning, the first thing most of us are going to do is worry about what in the world I'm going to eat. As you go eat, if it's not at home, it's going to be at some restaurant. What should you do at that restaurant? How is your relationship to this world going to help you at that restaurant? Dan has already given us the simplest thing that we could possibly do. When you walk out this building this morning, find some of those little blue cards. Give it to the person in the restaurant. You're going to give the waitress or the busboy a tip, right? Include with your tip a little card. And there's three simple words that you can say that will really end the conversation if you don't want to have one. Just say, come and see. My relationship to this world is to take or help as many people as I possibly can get to heaven with me. That's what our relationship to this world should be, getting people to heaven. Let us turn to 2 Corinthians 4. We're going to be reading verses 14 through 18. First one gets there, please read. Christ gave himself for us that we might be delivered from this present evil world. You notice in that verse, there's a five-letter word. It didn't say we are delivered. It said we might be delivered. It's up to us, folks. Our salvation is up to us. I mean, do you want to come to worship every Sunday morning, Sunday night,
come to Bible study every Wednesday night and still not make it? Let's get a right relationship with this world. Walk out of here. Be a part of it because you have to. But don't be in it. Get out of it. Get away from it. Let this world pass you by. Don't be one of those folks sitting at Walmart waiting on the newest gadget to come in. Let it pass you by. Don't be that part of, be that into this world. First of all, the newest gadget always has bugs, need to be worked out. The newest gadget always costs too much money. 3 weeks later, it drops down in price, $100 or $200. Get away from having to have the first. Get away from your own preeminence. Just be simple folk. Do you know the road to the cross was paved with simplicity? Jesus didn't even have his own home. He had absolutely nothing. That road that leads from the cross to heaven is also paved with simplicity. Now, I am not saying you can't have money. That is not what I'm saying. I am not saying you can't have fine things. That's not what I'm saying. Solomon had everything, but Solomon gave it up for nothing. Have what you have, but don't let what you have you. It's just things. There's no U-Haul at any grave site where somebody's taking what they have with them. Use it. Do what you want with it. But don't let it get so much of you that all you see is it. Christians are to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Worldliness is of the devil. The devil is the ruler of this world. Paul said, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 2 Corinthians 4:4. John said, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Satan is called the prince of this world, John 16:11. When an individual of a nation is worldly, they are under the dominion of Satan and opposition to God. You like this world? You love the things that are in it? Then you are in opposition to God. You can't straddle a fence because God knows you. You can't sit here and take the best of the world, then take the best of the church. You got to make a choice. I'm choosing the church. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will come to you. Well, if you seek the church and seek the church wholeheartedly, it will build up a resistance in you to the point where the worldly things won't affect you as much as they do if you don't seek God first. The word world has different meanings. When Christ said, God so loved the world, in John 3:16, he was speaking of the people of the world. When he prayed for his apostles and said, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, he was speaking of the earth or cosmos. We won't be getting through all of this. Are you kidding? I didn't realize I was doing that much talking. The word world has different meanings. Okay. When the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things in the world, God is not saying that one is not to love the beautiful earth, but that he is not to love the sinful world. The, 5 minutes. You know, 45 minutes is not really a long time to have a Bible class. You know what I mean? It just seems like there's so much here that I wanted to say. I guess I just should have said it and shut up with the rest of it. Okay, the lust of the flesh. The Bible, sin. Let me put it this way. All sin comes from lust. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Every sin comes from these three things. If you can master these three things, you can live a day without sinning. But see, the only way you can master these three things is by practice, practice, practice. I used to smoke cigarettes. I'd smoke 2.5 packs of Cool 50 Kings a day. And of course, yes, I stole a lot of them. So I wasn't always a Christian. I wasn't always good. But in order to quit smoking, I had to do one thing. Stop buying them. If I didn't buy the cigarettes, I couldn't smoke them. And there's somebody back there now saying, yeah, but you can still bum one. But see, I didn't do that either. I wanted to stop smoking. As a matter of fact, I wanted to stop smoking so bad, I did something that I do not admonish you to do. I made a vow to God that I wouldn't do it. And from the moment I made the vow to God that I wouldn't smoke, I never smoked again. You know why? I was more afraid of God than that nicotine. That's why I didn't smoke another cigarette. But see, I had to stop. It wasn't no miracle jumping down my throat telling me to stop. It's something I had to do. I had to control this flesh to stop smoking. You can all do whatever it takes to get to heaven. You just need to recognize your shortcomings. We know what we do wrong. We don't know all that we do wrong, but there are some things that as we do them, we wonder if we should. If you got to think about it, or if it bothers you a little bit, what's the best situation? Don't do it. Don't do it. Make up your mind today that when you leave this building, your number one concern won't be you. It'll be your relationship to this world. It'll be the job of getting out, talking about the Bible, talking about your Lord. You wake up in the morning sometimes, and you might have a gospel song on your mind. Do you think you put it there? No, you didn't. God has put it there for you. Every time, be prepared to adjust your relationship to this world. I thank you for your listening, and I'm sorry I couldn't get through more of this, but there'll be another day.